glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, January 27th, 2025. We're jumping right into a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church as we continue our study on Mondays through the book of Exodus. We'll be looking at chapter 14, verse 1 through 31. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson.
Today in this passage, we're looking at a moment in time when a group of people had been delivered. Okay, that's the Exodus. Exodus chapter 14. That's where we're going to be the whole time. But I just need you to hear me say, like sometimes it's hard to think, what does the Red Sea in Egypt and the nation of Israel really have to do with us? Like right now, I mean, like we're all here early probably because we want to watch an Illini game at 11. We hope I don't go long. Like, how are these things similar? And I think I just need to point this out is I want to look at the history for a second of what happened in this moment in time, because it matters to see who God is. But I also want to take a look behind the veil of what's really happening. Because see, what's happening in this moment is, in the book of Exodus, is Moses has come for the people of Israel, this family of God. They've been enslaved by the Egyptians. We talk about this every week. I'm going to talk about it again. We think, how could someone enslave someone else? Let's not forget how. Because all of us in this room, we deal with these same spiritual things. And the one is, how do you enslave someone? You have the spirit of a what? A slaver. How do you have the spirit of a slaver? You live your life objectifying people to think that they exist for your benefit. It is a boss that only uses you for what you offer him. It is a coach that only uses you for what you offer him. It is a spouse. It is a friend. It is someone that basically manipulates and uses everyone around them for them to find success. Well, the further you go down that road and the harder your heart becomes to that road, we'll get to that later, you end up, like, literally you're treating people as your slaves. Well, then the spirit of a slave is someone who's been objectified. It's all of us in this room at different times in our life. And we've been objectified to the point that we expect people to oppress us, and we find our identity in what? In what we do or what we offer. So if any of us in this room have ever struggled with our identity, which is everybody, the reason we have is we've allowed the world to objectify us, and we find our worth in being an object. Well, that's the same thing that's happening in this point in history. In Exodus 14, what we find is a nation that has been set free, right? They've been set free. They're no longer enslaved by the Egyptians. And the Egyptians not only set them free, they give them money on their way out, right? They pack their bags. They lead them out. As they lead themselves out, we studied last week, there was a cloud by day, a fire by night, and they led them into this place. And where God led them, we're going to find out real quickly that Pharaoh was actually confused and thought they were just lost, because on one side there was water, on one side there was mountains, on the other side there was Egyptians. So that's where we're at in the story. Well, what's that have to do with us today? I don't know about you, but there was a moment in my life when I walked away and recognized that my life was sinful and I needed Jesus. And I found freedom. But in the midst of me finding freedom, this enemy called the devil is still chasing me down, reminding me of my past and reminding me of the things that I enjoy that I shouldn't. See, in this passage, you have the nation of Israel, you have Moses, you have a God who is good and loves you and cares for you and wants to set you free. That is a true statement. That's who he is. He is a God of freedom and a God of life, and he wants to set you free. But in this story, you also have another enemy, and this enemy is the evil one. He is Satan, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He wants to deceive you. He wants your identity to be found in what you offer the world versus who you are. He wants your identity to be found in all the things of this world that sometimes even make you happy but don't bring you fulfillment. He wants to deceive you into thinking that God can't part the Red Sea. He wants to deceive you into thinking that you belong back in death and back in prison and back in addiction. That's what he wants to do. And in this story, Pharaoh and his armies are the representation of this. They had been deceived, just like all of us at times are deceived. And so today, as we're talking about this moment in history, I don't want you to be thinking, because listen to me, the Egyptians aren't outside in chariots trying to get you. You with me? Like there ain't no Pharaoh out those doors chasing you down, wanting to put you in slavery. But you know what is outside those doors? Our addictions, our fears, our insecurities, our sinful desires, our selfishness, our greed, our anger, our pain, our lack of faith. It's chasing you. And I'm glad you're here. Because today, just like the Red Sea moment, when God took them in a cross and he drowned out all the things that were chasing them. My prayer today is that he drowns out those things. That we leave him on the shore and we walk through it delivered. Are you with me? Delivered. It goes on and says this in the passage. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Piharim between Migdol and the sea in the front of Baal Zephon. I have no idea how to say that. I'm just making it up. For Pharaoh will say with all the Israel, they are wandering in the land of the wilderness and shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he'll pursue them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh, all his host, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And they did so. So what's happening? The Egyptians are chasing them down. They've got their chariots. They've got their armies. They're chasing them down. And they think that the nation of Israel is lost. Are they lost right now? No, they're following a cloud by day and a fire by night. Don't miss that. And God has brought them to the point. Hear me say, this is how God works. He has brought them to the point where it's not wide open spaces and we can run from these people. He's brought them to the point where they're staring at the Red Sea, and on one side is mountains, on one side is Red Sea, and the other side is what? An Egyptian army. So the reason the Egyptians think that these guys are hosed is because there's nowhere to go except for swimming. But God has a plan. And God's plan in this moment is what? He has already in the 10 signs showed the Egyptians and showed the Israelites that he is greater than all their false gods. Don't miss that. The reason why he does the 10 signs, those are all direct assault on false deities, false spiritual forces. And now he's about to show the world that there is no army, even the greatest army of the world, that can stand against him. The purpose of this book, don't miss this, y'all. The purpose of this book is a word called redemption. He wants Egypt to know he is God. He wants Israel to know he is God. He wants y'all on the left side to know he is God. Y'all on the right side to know he's God. And you're in the middle, so you're like, you're extra want to be known. He's your God. Like, that's what he wants. He wants the world to know he is God and he loves you. What's chasing you? Don't forget that question I asked at the beginning. We have it. This morning when I was driving in, I was thinking about the things that I've been set free from, but I still want to mess with. Like, he has set me free from this, but it still tempts me. Don't forget what's pursuing you in this moment, because I don't want this just to be about, man, God took him across the Red Sea. I saw that on the flannel graph when I was in the fourth grade. No, no. What's chasing you? What's God going to deliver you from? Listen to me. We're walking out of this place, family, delivered. Because he is part in a Red Sea, we're walking across it, and he will swallow up the things that bind you. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the mind of Pharaoh and his servants was changed towards the people. And they said, what is it that we have done that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariots and took his army with him and took 600 chosen chariots and all the order of chariots in Egypt with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. I'm coming back to that. We've talked about it before. We're going to talk about it again. He hardened the heart of Pharaoh of Egypt, and he pursued the people of Israel while the people of Israel were going out defiantly. Here's how it says it in Scripture. There's three different times it says this all throughout. Actually, there's more than three different times. There's three different ways it says the hardening of the heart of Pharaoh. One way is Pharaoh hardened his what? His own heart. The other one is Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and the other was God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Let me tell you how our hearts and Pharaoh's heart are hardened. It starts with this. In your life and in my life, I have this thing called a conviction. It could be your conscience. It could be the good angel on one shoulder and the red angel on, like, you with me? Like, all of us have seen the cartoons. And if you haven't, there used to be this thing called cartoons. And you'd have it on Saturday mornings, and it was the only time they were on television. And it was great. Anyway, so back to the sermon. So in this moment, what happens in your life and my life, whether you're a believer or not, there's going to be something in your life at times that's like, I shouldn't do this. The reason that is because the Spirit of God, or the Ruah of God, this Spirit of God is everywhere on this earth, and it convicts the hearts of men and women of what is right and what is wrong. And so whether you're a believer or not, you've had a moment when you knew you weren't supposed to and you did. And as soon as you did, you're like, do you remember the first time you did the one thing you knew you weren't supposed to do, and instantly you recognized, I shouldn't have? Well, the way that your heart is hardened is you ignore that conviction, you ignore the repentance of turning back to God, doing what's right, and then you do it again. And the second time you do it, the second time you eat of that fruit, the second time you make that mistake, the second time you lash out in anger or lash out in lust or lash out in addiction, the second time you still feel like you shouldn't, but you feel a little less. Then there's a third, then there's a fourth, then there's a fifth, then there's a sixth. And eventually you can do that behavior all the time, and you no longer hear the conviction of God because you've put your own sin inside your ears and you don't hear him anymore. How was Pharaoh's heart hardened? The same reason Pharaoh could have slaves. Because he continually did what he wanted versus what was right. Today in this room, this has happened to me. There are moments in my life when all of a sudden I recognize I'm doing something. I actually recognize the motives in which I'm doing something are wrong. And God convicts me of it. And in that moment, when I repent and turn back to him, it unlocks a lot of other areas in my life that need to be repented of. And then I walk in more freedom versus walk in more pain. And my family walks in more freedom versus walks in oppression. And so how are our hearts hardened? By ignoring the word of God. It goes on and says this, the Egyptians pursued them and Pharaoh's horses and chariots and the horsemen with his army. Then it goes on and says this, overtook them and camped at the sea in front of Baal-Zephon. So they are surrounded at this moment. Why does it say right here in this passage that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, of Israel, well, the people of Israel, Egyptians pursued them, Pharaoh on all sides, and this horseman with his army. And then it says these words again, and encamped around them. So they are in this place. What in this moment do we have to remember? We have to remember that God is the same one that delivered us. But when you're surrounded, what are you going to do? Let's go on and see what they do. It says this, when Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they were greatly feared. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, is this because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? So this is what's happening. You have this massive army that's out there. They're surrounding you. They're pushing you up against the water. You've seen the movies. You're pushing them up against the water. They have no idea where they're going to go. They're just about to die. And they're thinking this, it actually, at least as a slave, I could breathe. I didn't want to drown. I don't even know how to swim. And in your life and in my life, there's probably never been an army that surrounded you. You've never had to make a decision of whether life or death or swim or not swim. But I promise you, in your life, in my life, you found freedom in Christ. A lot of you in this place, you've surrendered your life to Jesus. You go along this pathway and then you feel overwhelmed by your own sin. You feel overwhelmed by your own addictions. You wake up every time you make a mistake. Let me tell you what the enemy does. When you make a mistake, your first thought is, I'm worthless. When you make a mistake, you think, well, of course I did. I always make mistakes. Or when you look at someone, you instantly critique and judge them. Like all of us have it, guys. All of us have things that are chasing us down. You expect people to treat you poorly because that's just what people do. See, those are spirits of the enemy that are camped around you. And hear me say this. He wants to deliver us. He wants to set you free. He wants to set me free. He not only has set you free from the yoke of slavery, he doesn't want the spiritual forces that once held you back to keep holding you. Family, today, identify those things in your brain. Write them on a piece of paper and say, God, I need you to wash those away. I need you to kill those in my life. Because he doesn't want us to walk in chains anymore. The chains are off. We're just carrying them. We just like to remind ourselves of them. It's almost like feeling bad makes us feel good, which is crazy. But all of us do it. I need to read this part again because it says, this is what these guys said. And I think you're going to hear yourself in this moment. Maybe not all of you, but a lot of you. Because in some ways, there's one thing about Champaign-Urbana that's different than lots of places I've lived. Okay, I've never sold you this before. I think there's a spirit of criticism and critique and negativity in this place that's unlike almost most places I've ever been in the world. We can watch a game. We can have a moment that's really beautiful. And then we will get in the car and we'll find the one thing that was a frustration and we talk about it. We can beat a team by 30 points and we will get on the radio and we will just point out the one thing that didn't go quite perfect. We can get a raise and we find the one reason why it should have been a little bit more. Family, hear me say this. The rest of the world's not like that. We are. Let's leave those things at the Red Sea today. There are spiritual things in this world that oppress places in different ways. It's just true. And for us, I think this is one of our things. And this is the phrase that the Egyptians said, but it sounds like something maybe we would say. And it says this, so they're encamped, they're surrounded. And this is their comment. Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Do you know what? There's literally more grave. Egypt was known for its ability to bury anybody. They were experts in burial. 3/4 of the land of Egypt you could bury people on because of the way they buried people. Literally, they're mocking God and they're mocking Moses by saying, well, There's no place to bury us in Egypt. We might as well take us. The cynicism in that moment is familiar to me. And the reason it's familiar to me is because sometimes I say things like that. Hey, family, wouldn't it be great to get in the car and just be like, man, that was great. Ice cream. Now, other places have things too. But the way we can step away from our brokenness is to identify our brokenness. The reason why our kids struggle so much with the anxiety and fears and stresses of this world is because they've been raised by people that constantly critique. Even if you're not critiquing them, they hear you critique, so they think the world does what? Critiques. Hey, family, let's break the chains today. Let's let the Red Sea wash them away. That's what God can do. It also goes on and says this, what you've done to us in bringing out of Egypt, it is not this that what we've said to you in Egypt, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it will have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to them, so this is the point, Moses is getting frustrated, and this is what he says, this is what God has told him. Fear not, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. He wants us to do this. Remember last week we talked about it. Remember, this is the God that set you free. Remember, this is the God that provided for you. Remember when he healed you. Remember when he saved you. Remember when he loved you. Remember when he comforted you. Remember who God is. See the salvation of the Lord. Hear the stories of scripture memorization. Hear the stories of coming back to know Christ. Hear the stories of someone being healed. Hear the stories of you going from anger to love. You going from brokenness to wholeness. Like, remember, see the salvation of God. He says, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians who see you today, you shall never see again. Then it says this in verse 14, the Lord will fight for you. All you have to do is shut up. It says be silent, but in the Bible, it really says shut up there. Kids, it's in the Bible. He's like, just chill out. Just look at what God's going to do. He's brought you to the Red Sea. Yes, there's mountains. Yes, there's chariots. Just chill out. That's what the Lord says to me a lot. Jason, relax. I need to point this out because this is the moment, be quiet, relax. I know these things are chasing you and I know they're chasing me. The things we identified, right? The armies that chase you. Be still. Know that he is God. And let's not focus on the things that chase us. Let's focus on the God that saves us. And then he says this. Then the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go through the sea on dry ground. There's two things I need to point out here. The first thing God says, this is what happens in the church. This is what happens with pastors, happens with church leaders, happens in homes, is we take a verse and we say, this is my verse. And so the verse that you heard first is, be still and know that I am God. So guess what? All I have to do is ask God and do nothing. That's what that said. But then the next verse says what? Stop whining and go do something. Well, how do those two things come together? It's because God said them both. Here's the cool thing about God. He actually doesn't fit in your box. There are certain moments he's like, Jason, stop whining, be still and pray. And there's other moments he's like, Jason, I've heard your cries, go, get busy. Jason, you need some provision in this moment. Guess what? I've given you other odd jobs you can do. There's also one that's like, Jason, you need provision? Here you go. That's the beauty of God. See, God can be in the midst of chaos and offer peace. And in the midst of peace, he can push you into chaos. He is a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. But he's also a God of justice and a God of strength and a God of power. See, God is in all, above all, and through all. And that's the beauty of who he is. If someone says, this is exactly how God reacts to this situation, you're wrong. This book is full of things in which God interacts with different people in different ways. God is unchanging, yes, but the way he interacts with us changes based on what? Who we are. I've got four kids. I don't interact with them all the same way. With one of my kids, I can line them out directly. With the other kid, if I say that, boom, they crumble. I've got to figure out who they are, and I got to encourage them, and I got to pour into them in different ways. And God does the same with us. God's given you guys so many gifts and so many abilities. He really has. And a lot of you, he's saying this, go, get into the sea. I'm going to part the waters. And for some of you, he's like, slow down. All you're doing is going. You need to take a deep breath and make sure you know that I'm the one leading you. It's both. And family, that's why it's so important for us to recognize, your presence here, you've already won. We're here. That's how I started, right? You made it. We're in the room. No matter how hard it was, no matter how sick you've been, no matter what diagnosis you've had, no matter what family member's doing this or what person's struggling with this, listen to me. We're at the Red Sea. He's just about to part the waters. He's going to take away the chains and he wants you to be free. And today, let's leave this place delivered. It goes on and says this, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so they shall go after him. And I will get the glory from Pharaoh and all of his hosts and his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When it says get the glory, he's not trying to diminish. He wants the world to know he's greater. It matters. Do you know why it matters so much that we recognize in the Old Testament, that's the left side of your Bible, he's greater? Because in the recognition of he is greater, it makes the sacrifice even greater. Because he is the greatest, because he is greater than all things, him choosing to become a man, him choosing to become a servant, him choosing to become a sacrifice, and him choosing to become a curse to set us free is the greatest act of love. Because of his what? Greatness. His power. The angel of God who was going before the hosts of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud in the darkness, and it lit up the night without one coming near to the other at all. This is a moment. Remember, the 10 signs, the 10 plagues, the 10 signs were an assault against the false deities to show the whole world, to show all the Egyptians, okay, you can pray to this God of blood, or you can pray to this God of the sea, or you can pray to this God of an infant. Like, you can pray to this frog, you can pray to this bull, you can pray to those things, but guess what? Nah. I'm greater. And this is the moment where, well, God's greater than those false gods, but God's not greater than actual like swords and chariots and spears. No. God's greater. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by the strong east wind all night and made the sea dry, and the land of the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground. Family, here's the question is, are you and I willing to walk away from our brokenness even though we find comfort in it? I get it. The reason we have comfort in our brokenness and comfort in the things that chase us is because they've chased us for so long, it's all we really know. But freedom's out there. Freedom. And the reason why we're afraid of freedom is we still have this mindset of slaves. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the water being a wall to them on their right hand, on their left, the Egyptians pursued and went in after them into the midst of the sea. All Pharaoh's hosts, his chariots, his horsemen. And in the morning, watched the Lord with a pillar of fire and the cloud looking down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, this is what the Egyptian army said, let us flee before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. They're like, nuh-uh. These cats, God's with these cats. We're out. Do you know that the enemy knows he's lost? It's like in a game when you know you're going to win and someone's trash talking. Are you going to let them get under your skin? Come on. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal cause. When the morning appeared and the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The water returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters being walled to them on their right and on their left. Family, hear me say this, is God wants to deliver you and he wants to deliver me. He wants to deliver me and you from all the armies that chase you, and I don't know all their names. I know it's not Egypt, and I know it's not Pharaoh, but I promise you there are spiritual forces that are constantly chasing you, reminding you of your past, reminding you of your brokenness, reminding you that every time you make a mistake, you think you're a failure, when you're not a failure, you're a child of the living God. You are more perfect and beautiful and created for things so much beyond yourself than you could ever imagine, and we find ourselves being identified by what a TikTok or what something that's on my phone says or what people around me say. Family, be set free. Be set free. Be set free. What do you need to be delivered from? Anger, pain, envy. I don't know. What's God going to wash away today? Because our God's in the business of deliverance.
Yes, listening friend, God wants to deliver you from whatever ensnares, shackles you, keeps you in bondage. He loves you. He cares for you. He desires you to walk in freedom. You've been listening to a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church as preached a week ago Sunday, and I trust you found a point of application as God wants you free. He wants you healed. He wants you thriving. He desires you to know of his love and to walk in the freedom that he offers you. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at wluj.org and greatnewsradio.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.